Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead. Welcome, 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 welcome. Have a great day and...
Tell me something good.
Tell me something good.
Yeah, you have the same look when you sing that song.
Do I?
Yeah, it's bizarre. Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to episode number 53 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
Let me say right out the chute, thank you very much for your support in episode number 52. Our first anniversary episode went right to the top.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I had a weird feeling about this, though. Remember back when we first met and we were in the theater?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, of course you do. This is 35 years ago.
I have a
ago.
Memory.
Oh, yeah, but it's 35 years ago. Okay, the opening night, even one night before that, dress rehearsal, total shambles, we stink, this is horrible, we're going to be a failure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Opening night, tremendous excitement and energy, a triumph. Night after opening night, are we going to be okay? That's the way I felt.
Really?
Yeah, episode 53, you hit a landmark, like the anniversary issue.
Yeah.
Do we still have the moxie now in episode 53? So I've been having this kind of anxiety about it.
You know what it is? You're overthinking it because it's easier than that. Just go with the flow.
All right. That's it, huh?
That's it.
All right.
With everything.
Okay. WrinkledNotDead.com is our blog. You can find all kinds of stuff there. And all of our episodes are there, by the way. You can subscribe and leave suggestions and messages. Or you can go to iTunes because we're in the iTunes store where you can rate us, which is very, you know, we appreciate having good ratings. Although I have to say that we have all 5 stars.
It's unbelievable. Thank you. And mm-hmm. if you can tell your friends and family,
yeah.
word of mouth is the best form of advertising.
Yes,
so we can continue to bring you free information and hopefully helpful information. Please, please, please share this with your friends and family. When I was in Canada, I was putting our Wrinkled Not Dead cards, business cards.
We finally got stupid business cards. They're very nicely
done. They're very nicely done. And
thanks
everywhere
to
I went, I was putting them on the billboards and everything else. So hopefully we're spreading the word in Canada.
Yeah, I know. I put one up there the other day.
In Starbucks, still,
you know,
yeah.
I went and looked and it was still there, too.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't mentioned the Tell Me Something Good jar. And if I'll corpse. This is another theater expression. I'll corpse if I start singing again. But the reason it's called Tell Me Something Good is because that's a line from the old Rufus song with Chaka Khan, Tell mm-hmm. Me Something Good. So anyway, it's something that we decided that we were going to do at the beginning of the year and add positive experiences on a little scrap of paper, put it in a mason jar, open it next year on New Year's Eve, rather, and think of all the fabulous things that happened. Well, we've been remiss, and I'll bet out there our dear Wrinkled Not Dead friends, you have too.
You know what's interesting, though? John Tesh, who I really love, he's got a lot of good posts if you want to check him out. He is going through some cancer right now, some chemotherapy and radiation. He has a Tell Me Something Good jar. And what he's doing is putting everything good that's happened in the days during his chemo and radiation so he can look back on that and it can give him some inspiration to fight this terrible disease of prostate cancer that he has.
Does he have a name for the jar? What does he call it?
I don't know.
Tell Me Something Good is, I know, our version of that.
Exactly. It was the good jar, I think he put.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we come from radio and TV background, also the theater thing that we...
wait a minute. So we have a company called Michael Bell Productions.
Well, let's not forget them.
Hang on. And we do radio and TV advertising.
Yes.
We do corporate speaking. We do corporate training.
Yes.
You name it, we do it. We've been in business since 1989. And before that, we were in the business, but we have our own business since then. And so if you need anything for radio, TV, or any kind of training films... give us a call, Michael Bell.
Flogging our services.
I sure am. Why not?
Unabashedly, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. Okay, fine.
I have
new
vigor.
Let's return to an earlier episode, Airport Anxiety, which was, by the way, I think the second most, if not the most, highly rated and popular episode to date.
Why not? Because it gives me the most anxiety.
Well, it rang true for a lot of people.
You know why? Because when you're at the airport, a lot of it is out of your control.
Yes. Okay. So I only want to return to this because we had this whole experience with it again. Here you had to go up for, you know, for eye surgery in Toronto. And we I had just been in Toronto for the BRIC National Conference and Big Brother doing the TV show. Mm-hmm. And so I had just gone through the same airport, which is Toronto Pearson. So I just got the lay of the land again and been having airport anxiety. I came back with a full report on what's different and what's new at the airport. And this is what you got to do. And the new thing that they have is you print your own baggage tag. Terror. What are we going to do? Better show up a little earlier than even normal, which is 3 hours before exactly. an international flight. Okay, so fine. We get this all down. It takes like a half an hour's worth of discussion to explain the whole procedure of all of this stuff. You walk into the airport, go to the kiosk, and there's a mountain of people, right?
Uh-huh.
Mountain of people. You look up, which is now the key to everything. Just look up. And what did you see?
There were five agents at the check-in desk with nobody checking in with their bags. And I thought to myself, what is everyone clamoring against these little kiosks, pushing and shoving, screaming, I don't know what to do. I need help. Is there an attendant? Help. And I walk up, 2 seconds, they take my bag the old-fashioned way and give me my boarding pass, print me my baggage claim, and off I went. And I said, guys, if you just look up and just take a minute... Calm down. Everything will be okay.
Oh, I couldn't help it. I had to bring it back up. Rose and Thorn, I've got one.
Rose is when something good happens in the week, and Thorn is when something doesn't good happen. But the Thorn, we always try to find something that good that came out of that.
Yes. So the Rose for, well, both of us really, but I'm taking claim for it this time, is we had a really wonderful time after everybody kind of been on the road, all right. of us, all three of us, our mm-hmm. friend Grace and you and me, went out for dinner, casual dinner at a very, you know, not an expensive place, but a really kind of homey, happy, busy restaurant. And we had a wonderful time, great discussion, terrific, all great. Got home, one of her dogs is lame, and one of our dogs has diarrhea.
God, do you know what it's like when you come home and there's diarrhea everywhere?
Oh, Lord. And that does happen if you're, you know, a person over 50 and your dogs are now older dogs, or you're onto your third or fourth dog and that one is 14 or 15. It's just, you almost cringe before you get out of the car when you get home. Don't
but you know what? As you get older, diarrhea, you're so used to it. You don't overreact. You say, you know what? They ate something bad. It's going to
be
okay.
Right.
And you don't over go nuts.
Well, that's all that easy for you to say. I'm the guy who got up 6 times last night with Abby the dog so she could do her Abby the dog squirt outside the... Anyway.
That's true.
So that was mine.
Well, my... I'll start with my Thorn first.
Okay.
My Thorn was I'd worked myself up into such a tizzy before I was going for my eye operation. And I had to... had to do some stuff on the eye that I already had operated on. And however, when I got to Canada, mm-hmm. I went to Prism Eye Center, Ike Ahmed. He's this incredible glaucoma doctor. Everything went smoother than I had anticipated, and I had to make a mental note. Worry is worse, usually, than what actually happens.
Well, that's very profound, but it has been said before. But
it
you
has.
Just finally lived it, didn't you?
I finally lived it. So you know what?
Yeah.
Don't put all that worry in before you actually do something, because generally, it's not as bad as it as you think it's going to be.
Yeah, what was it, the five-minute rule or five-hour rule?
Yeah, the five-hour, the five-minute
five
rule
right.
was to give give 5 minutes for anything that you're going to worry about.
Right.
Because in 5 years, it's not going to make any difference.
Yeah, you're right.
So, but in this case, you know, when you're dealing with eyes and glaucoma and all that, but if anybody, again, I'm not trying to do a commercial here. I'm not being paid for this. But Ike Ahmed with Prism Eye Center in Mississauga, Ontario, and Brampton, Ontario. There's two locations. The guy is amazing. He's world-renowned.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody goes to him.
Remember at the hotel, they said that half the time their places
yeah.
have full of people who are going to Ike's place.
And he's, you know, one thing about
Dr.
him is
Ahmed,
he's very, very famous, and yet he's very humble, and he spends tons of time with you, like the old days that doctors used to do. So
well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So our major topic today, when we wrestled with this one, black sheep of the family.
Correct. How to handle the black sheep of the family when you're older.
It's
easier when you're younger.
Okay. Now, let me just a little bit set it up. Pretty much everybody's got a black sheep in the family. I think we know what we're discussing here is that there's one kind of dysfunctional member of your immediate or reasonably close family, somebody who you have to interact with one way or another. Would that be fair to say?
That's correct.
Okay. And we deliberately did not do a whole bunch of research on this because it's going to be right from your heart, my heart, right out to our friends who are probably out there listening and saying, okay, I'm ready to hear this one. I have my own story. So let's go.
I've had a troubled brother for a long time who I love and care for deeply. And he's had multiple drug problems and mental problems. And when my mother and father were younger, they kind of took care of it. I supported them in everything, but they took care of it. And as time went along, he's 63 years old now. He's had a lot of drug problems, and my mom now being in a nursing home and my dad being passed away, everything kind of comes on me.
Well, you choose to have that.
I do, but I have to say that the next of kin, he's in the hospital right now, and he's getting some help for, he has manic behaviors. They call me because I'm next of kin.
Yeah, I get it.
Not that I mind. It's just that it's been 20 years at least of a lot of turmoil. Mm-hmm. And anybody who knows, who has someone in their family who's been addicted to drugs or had drug problems and continues to be later on in life, he being 63, it's very, very tough. And I was basically dealing with my eye problem in Canada, and I got a call that he was trying to commit suicide. And so I kind of didn't want to overreact because he's said that he would do this many, many times. And so what I did was I called his next door neighbor first.
Yeah.
And I kind of called around first. It took about 5 minutes because I go fast. And everyone agreed I should call the crisis center, which I did, which ends up being in Canada. I don't know if here, but the police come out and they handcuffed him and they took him to a mental facility.
Did you actually arrest him or?
They had to arrest him so they could keep him under observation. Uh-huh. So all this is happening while, you know, of course, I'm worrying about my eye. But I'm kind of used to it. But what I found is in the aftermath is that my brother really is angry with me and hates me for it. And this has been something that I've had to deal with for a long time. But the reason why I'm bringing it up now is that because we are all older, we still have to deal with the black sheep of the family, whether it be a cousin or whatever. Yeah. And where do we find the strength and the commitment to go on? Because we're dealing with our own issues. Mike, you and I are dealing with financial issues. We're dealing with, you know, where do we fit? How do we make a living? How, you know, we've got all our little things that are going wrong. You're 65, I'm 60, and my brother's 63.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad I did it. However, what I'm trying to learn how to do, and Lauren, my dear goddaughter from the Skinny Confidential, him and her podcast, is trying to teach me, which young people can teach you a lot because you forget.
Yeah.
Is to do what you can and then try to separate yourself from that. And what I had to do was he tried to call me yesterday, collect, and I did not accept the call because I wasn't mentally prepared. I knew he was in a good place. I knew he was safe. I knew that I'd done everything that I could, but then I needed to take time for myself because there's a few health issues that I'm going through because of all the
distress.
Oh,
I know. You had a rash.
I've had a rash. I've been losing my fingernails and things like that. And that all stems from, of course, the guilt of putting my mother in a nursing home. Mind you, she's 95, and all the experts told me that needed to be done. However, you carry that with you.
True.
Regardless. It's really hard to separate logic from feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's two separate brain functions, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I had to do some soul searching. I went for a long walk when I was in Canada and I thought, yep, you know what? I did the right thing. When people say they're going to kill themselves, he says he was just joking again. Mm-hmm. You never know. Number one, if you have drugs involved.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, if you have some kind of manic, crazed depression going on, you need to call the crisis center. In Canada, there was a number for the crisis center that goes straight to the police. I was able to give them information of what my brother looked at like, and they picked him up.
So a physical description.
Exactly.
They were very professional.
And they were so kind to me. They said, you know what? You did the right thing. You're a loving sister. This is what needs to be done. What I'm going to have to deal with now is the aftermath when they actually let him out and how angry he is going to be towards me.
So there you are back at square one, really, aren't you?
There I am at back square one. So what I suggest people do if they're just starting out is that they set parameters, which I never did.
Yeah.
And they set aside time that is just for them so they can heal. Just like when you're on, talk about airplanes, you put your oxygen mask on first before you put it on your own child.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Because you've got to keep healthy yourself before you can help anybody else. And uh-huh. if I had just really understood that and lived that when I was younger, I think I would have been better equipped as an older person to deal with these problems that my parents dealt with when I was younger and I didn't have to deal with my brother.
Yeah. I wonder if it's a factor of just initially having the wisdom to set up the scenario the way it should work. Like, just like with any relationship, you know, here are going to be the guidelines, the rules of the game, shall we say, mm-hmm. about how this relationship is going to work. And you go outside those rules or outside the boundaries, that's it. There's got to be an end. This is it.
There is. And your mother tried
line in the sand.
Your mother tried to teach me that because
yes, she did.
Because you had an uncle, her brother, that was a problem. And she tried to teach me that. And she was very, very good at that. I'm a different kind of human being.
Yeah, you are.
That I'm much more emotional and I carry guilt too much and I just want to help everybody.
I know.
And I'm a control freak. And when you're dealing with other family members that are involved in drugs or alcohol or anything like that, mm-hmm. then it is a whole other ball game.
Yeah, it just makes things worse. It certainly does.
It does. And you feel that
it
heightens it. And you feel you really don't know what that person is going to do because there's no logic if they're high on drugs mm-hmm. or it's no logic if they're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And people make mistakes. They kill themselves and probably don't really mean to do that, you know, because they're just high.
Yeah.
And so I guess what I can say to everybody out there who's 60 or 65 and they're dealing now with the black sheep of the family that their parents used to take care of is that you can't cut yourself totally off. It's too difficult. But give what you can and then close that door as much as you can and then take care of yourself. There needs to be sort of like, you know, when you have children, you say, okay, this is your time to watch TV. This is your time to do your homework. This is your playtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to put those parameters up however you do. And this is just coming from my knowledge of 60 years of guilt. And try to close that door when it's closed for that time being.
Yeah.
Take time for yourself. And then when you open the door to take care of that person, then you're solely doing that. That's the only thing I can think of. I didn't look anything up because I'm just talking about 60 years of experience.
I can't add anything to this. And I tell you that only because you're right. You are a unique person in that area. I'm just an average schlub of a guy. And I remember, like you alluded to, my parents dealing with an uncle of mine
mm-hmm.
who is a very troubled individual, mm-hmm. much like your brother. And I would, you know, me and the other kids would just listen and just, you know, what are they kind of even arguing about what to do with this guy? Well, that's only Uncle so-and-so. I mean, what's so bad about that? But it's because everybody, it does feel the depth of that emotion and guilt and responsibility. So it's very well said. I know you thought about it a lot, and I congratulate you for spilling the beans on this. And we always, always in Wrinkled Not Dead just hope that there's a kernel, just a shred of help that you can gain from our experience here, and maybe talk about it with some of your friends too. Just get it out in the open.
Yeah, you know the trouble is with family is that there's this blood thing that, remember Gail Gordon, he was Mr. Mooney in the Lucy Show, he was a great friend of ours.
Yes.
He always said, blood is thicker than water.
Yeah, he did.
And no matter what, if you try to distance yourself, there's still that connection. And I don't know what it is. It just goes deep, 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 deep.
Yeah.
And how hard, even if you try to cut that off, some of it sort of creeps in. So you might as well get a piece of specific time that you deal with it so you can handle it and move on with your own life.
So basically you're saying you hate the guy, but you love the guy.
Yeah, I do. I mean, if I had a choice, I would have chosen a different brother.
Yeah.
But no matter what he does, I'm going to love him. And I know it sounds crazy because he abuses me like mentally.
Oh, it's terrible. I know. It's
but I'm going to love him and I'm going to ultimately be there. And but I have to figure, I have to have specific times. Otherwise, it will eventually make me very ill if I don't partition off time, like we do with children or with our dogs or with our friends or anything. Mm-hmm. So you just have to somehow separate that emotional from the logical a little bit and deal with it in blocks.
Okay. Well, this kind of rolls into a perfect segue for Jen's Health Minute.
Oh, God. But I don't want to take over this whole podcast. My gosh.
No, you're not. I mean, sometimes you should.
I guess. Like I said,
I got a wonderful family.
Your brothers are incredible.
They are. They're all great.
You know what?
Different.
If anybody out there has great brothers and sisters, hug them and just be so grateful.
Appreciate it.
I would just be so over the moon for a good brother or sister.
All right. So tell us the doggone health minute.
Okay. So there's a thing called the scratch that itches.
And but I've never heard this.
Well, Lauren talked about it yesterday. Okay, and also, I went to a doctor and he talked about it. And basically, when you're under tremendous stress, whether it be family or eyes or whatever, something in your brain tells you that you've got an itch, even though there's not an itch. And so you scratch it, and then up comes all these bumps.
Get out of here.
Honestly. And it's all to do with nerves. And I was talking to Lauren yesterday about it. She has it because she's under tremendous pressure with her incredible Skinny Confidential and the Him and Her podcast. She's building an empire. But along with that comes a lot of work, more work than anybody can ever imagine.
She is under a lot of...
Yeah, and stress. And with Michael, too. And he had the same thing. Her husband, Michael Bostic, he had the same thing. He had a lot of... he had a rash.
It lasts for like 6 months.
Yeah, and it all comes from stress because when we're stressed, our immune system drops and we're not able to handle anything. And so I was taking Allegra for my itching, and it worked great.
Yeah.
But Lauren told me to try a thing called Sarnia.
Sarna?
It's Sarna. Sorry, Sarna. S-A-R-N-A.
Sarnia is in Canada.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ontario,
Sarnia.
Actually.
Right, right. Oh, gosh.
Probably one in Scotland.
Help me, Rhonda.
Help
me. Sarna is a thing that I got just at the grocery store, and I didn't realize I had it. And she told me that she tried it, and it's a lotion that you put on your skin when it starts to itch, so you don't have to put something through your whole body. Like Allegra.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really stinks. That's why I never tried it.
Well, it's got not menthol. It's got camphor in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that smells like mothballs.
But I tried it last night, and I have to tell you guys, it really works. So
it
if
does.
You have the itch that scratches, or the scratch that itches, pardon me.
Either way.
and it's just from sheer nerves, try that first. And then if that doesn't work, go the Allegra route.
Okay. Can I hijack your health minute?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked about this in the past, too. Skin cancer screening.
Yeah, because you wanted me to go to the dermatologist for my scratching.
Yeah, I do. And I still do. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I have an appointment with Dr. Marriott, my physician. And she's going to give me a screening because I've had a bunch of times when I've
skin
had stuff,
cancer.
Skin cancer, but it'd been cut off and burned and frozen.
Oh, God, your head rotated.
I remember all that.
Your scalp rotated.
My scalp.
Not your head.
My head rotated.
No, that would be The Exorcist, right? That would be the scariest movie
here I am
ever.
I'm trying to make this important point, and somehow you toss it into the trash and leave it to die.
Oh, God. Okay, go on.
All right. So, heroically, I will return to the point.
I'll keep quiet. Sorry.
No, you don't have to. It's kind of fun anyway. Dr. Marriott is a Swedish physician, and she's really, really wonderful, wonderful person. And she has a unique way of giving you the examination. Now, I just don't want anybody out there. Everybody should get this doggone skin screening, cancer screening, once a year, full body. So what do I mean by full body? I mean you got to have your full body looked at. Everything, the whole everything, right?
The naughty bits.
The naughty bits, the bad bits, all that stuff. So what you go in there in Dr. Marriott's office and you put the gown on. Everybody expects the gown. But you can keep the gown on and you keep your underwear on.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, what? So what she does is she kind of manipulates the gown around your body because the back is flapping open in the breeze, as they all do. And she'll examine all the parts. She has a complete rhythm to doing this. She's been doing it a long time. And she'll methodically go through all the parts of your body and then keep moving the gown around until, of course, you get to the naughty bits where your underwear is. And she takes
your furniture and fixtures.
Your furniture and fixtures. Somehow you were going to find a way. Uh-huh. Okay, so she gets to the furniture and fixtures. She takes a pencil. I'm not kidding you. And just sort of lifts the shorts and looks underneath the shorts and then puts the pencil back down and you're done. It's the most kindly and sympathetic and respectful way of doing it. So my point is, dermatologists out there know what they're doing. You need to have this done. Don't. And I had this is a lady looking at a guy. So don't forget to have it done. It has to be done. And don't be afraid of it because it's just not that bad.
But even if you haven't lived in like Southern California.
Oh, yeah. No.
Or the south of France or anything. You need to check it out because many people get skin cancer just from very little sun.
My problems come from when I was a kid at Pigeon Lake in northern Alberta. Mm-hmm. In the summer sun, when the sun is up, you know, like almost the land of the midnight sun, your kids are running around the lake and we didn't ever use sunscreen or anything like that. And that skin damage is from way back then.
Well, remember back in the day, we thought putting baby oil on our skin was okay.
And God. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we really didn't know the damage that the sun can do. And everybody says you need vitamin D, so you go out in the sun. I mean, it's a catch-22.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. So anyhow, get it done, okay? Because this is almost the anniversary of us bringing that up the first time. So it is my anniversary for getting the test.
Exactly.
So get out there and do it.
So do it. Time off. So time off is when we try to pass something on to you guys that costs little to zero money. Because we're all making less money as we get older. Maybe. We'll see. And so what I found for my time off was this. We've been watching Feud. And it's on FX in the United States. And I'm sure you can find it on other stations throughout
it's
the
world.
It's
too big a show. It has
Jessica Lange. And she's just so wonderful in it.
It's about Bette Davis and
Joan Crawford.
And their experience in later life. Getting a chance to make a motion picture together when they were kind of washed up has-beens.
Correct.
That's the setup.
And we all remember those two icons from a long time ago.
Of course.
And through the whole thing, it basically talks about how Bette Davis kind of embraced aging more than
Joan Crawford.
And so that's kind of interesting for us as we get older. And then towards the end, the final show that we just watched a couple days ago, right, mm-hmm. was unbelievable. You need to watch it because it shows if you can embrace life and just be okay with a little bit of weight gain, okay with not looking perfect. These women, particularly Joan Crawford, could have gone on to have a very good career. But she saw herself in the newspaper, a picture of herself, and she said, "That's it. I'm not going out again."
I know.
And then lived a very sad life when she could have been very vital and had an ongoing career to the end.
Haven't we seen that through our own careers? I mean, when we look at the two characters themselves, the two people as actors, Bette Davis was easily embraced the idea of being a character actor compared to Joan Crawford, who was known as the world-renowned beauty. Mm-hmm. And of course, that beauty starts to fade and she turns and sours and goes, whereas Bette Davis... smoking the cigarettes and having a great time and drinking martinis.
She did. And that's the trouble with all these, with everybody who's young now wants to be beautiful and perfect and a Kardashian or whatever. That is all one day, no matter what you do, going to fade.
Yeah.
And so you need to be more than just your looks. You need to just embrace who you are. Oh, Susan Sarandon played Bette Davis.
Yeah,
I was
right.
trying to think of...
I know you. I could see your head working. I couldn't help you.
She was so good. These two were unbelievable. Yeah, they really embraced the characters. So if you get a chance and you're older, you're going to really very much appreciate Feud. And if you're younger, you'll learn a lot about embracing each age as you go by.
I got the worst dud in the world.
What?
My time off is learning how to do noise reduction on my Audacity program for the show.
Well, that's okay.
No, it's not. I can see your eyes glazing over right now, and they should. Anyway, we keep trying to improve how we do things. And the last episode when we had the guests on, there was a... of course, we start the recording, and the wood chipper starts up outside our god doggone door. And I thought, what on earth? So it's just... And I thought, there's got to be a way. So I've been looking at the program that I use to record the show called Audacity. And I learned how to roll off just the frequency of the wood chipper. And it worked out pretty well. So I'm kind of excited about it. So,
but I think that's kind of cool. And I'll tell you why. Because our podcasts, our 52, our anniversary podcast with Michael and Lauren from The Skinny Confidential, him and her podcast.
Yeah.
We basically talked about podcasting and blogging.
Yeah, we kind of did.
We
did. It ended up that way. I don't know why.
We did because it is the way of the future. And Michael really explained very, very well. And Lauren, of course, together explained how this is the way life is going to go.
No matter what age.
No matter what age.
Exactly.
If you're going to start a business or you're going to advertise or whatever you're going to do, this is a format to do it. And so my hat is off to you, Mike, because you go on the internet and you learn how to do all the technical side of this. And you're 65 years old and you're not afraid to do it. But that's how Michael Bostick, the young 30-year-old, he does it too.
Yeah, I know.
So the wealth of information is open to everybody on the internet.
It
so
is.
All you need to do is grab it.
Yep. Okay. Speaking of age, remember when.
Remember when.
I know. I love remember when.
I do too, because we talked about this.
We had like four different remember whens. I wanted to go into the meter reader.
Then the inkwell.
Then the inkwell. No.
I wanted to talk about drive-in movies.
All right.
And I know they made a comeback in the 90s. I don't know if they're back again.
I don't think so.
But drive-in movies were so cool. Because you got in the car in your pajamas with your favorite pillow.
With your parents, of course.
And your parents. And you drove to a drive-in. And the drive-in we went to, they would actually bring you food.
Good grief.
And they would hook it on the door, kind of like the A&W. Remember the A&W drive?
Yeah.
And they would come out with the root beers and the hamburgers and stuff and hook it on your door and you'd eat in there. Remember that?
God,
that's a remember one, too.
Remember
oh, my
one.
Gosh. Here
I
we go.
I can smell it.
I know. And the French fries. And
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
remember the root beer was so good. But anyways, I digress. You would have to put
the speaker
so you could hear what was going on the big screen.
You rolled up your window.
Yeah, because you rolled them.
You rolled it up.
So you could be very precise as you went up as opposed to.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, I was just thinking about that and I thought, you know what? Everybody just, if you ever went to a drive-in movie, think back of those fabulous, where you felt safe, you were with your family, you had snacks. But what was the first movie you saw at a drive-in movie?
Mine's better than yours is.
Go ahead, then.
Help.
Oh, gosh.
The Beatles.
Yeah.
You can imagine a kid, well, they're the three olders of us in the back seat. But, I mean, we were doing everything but fly out the windows. We were so excited. And when the first chord from Help starts up, I mean, I'm tearing up. It was, oh, my God. My God, it was the greatest moment of my childhood, I swear to God.
And because you were with your brothers and your mom
and
your
mom
dad.
And my dad.
And everything was right with the world.
And we did have the snacks.
Yeah, everything was right with the world. Mine was The Blob.
See?
Do you remember The Blob?
See?
Remember in
I win. The Blob.
No,
The Blob.
Hang on a minute, because all of that genre, they had like The Blob and the first Mummy and...
Yeah.
And... you know, Land of the Dead and all these kind of crazy movies.
Well, Hush, Hush,
Sweet Charlotte.
I mean, it's all that genre. It's
it
about
was.
The same
That's
time.
Right.
So come on, think about it.
Yeah. So The Blob was great. And The Blob, remember, The Blob came into the movie theater and everybody ran out and it was started like... remember, it was like a big... Silly Putty.
Oh, my God.
You remember
God.
Silly Putty?
Yeah,
there's another.
Silly.
There's another.
No,
one.
not next
okay,
week.
Next
Save
week.
It up.
But it was this big thing that kind of took over everything. Kind of like, and later on, remember The Fog?
The Fog?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So anyways, and that was one thing I remember. And so we were all screaming and my dad was laughing and it was fun. So think back to the days if you went to a drive-in movie and have fun there.
Okay, let's roll it up with the quote. I've had too much fun.
Me too.
This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got quotes and we thought, oh, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about the black sheep again. But no, not really here. My quote is from Steve Jobs.
Okay.
Steve Jobs. If you want to make everyone happy, don't be a leader. Sell ice cream.
Oh,
what
gosh.
A profound.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that
is that
good?
Ever true?
I didn't know Steve Jobs said that.
He said a lot.
If you want to make everyone happy, don't be a leader. Sell ice cream. I was just, thank goodness.
I That's love great. It.
Okay, but
I
you've got it. The killer monster, and I found it for you. So.
You did. A family without a black sheep is not a typical family. We have them all. Good luck. I hope we could pass on some information to help you. And remember, we weren't born yesterday.